And welcome, folks. This is, he's welcome as well. The Apostle Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 15, a wonderful chapter where he speaks about the resurrection. Let's remind ourselves of what he says, those things that are most precious to us. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Those things of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. That's what we celebrate today. So let's worship him together. Let's pray. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, we join the Apostle Peter's bold declaration. Peter, who said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We thank you that this is good news, that this is the best news that changes everything. Because of your resurrection, Lord Jesus, we're now neither afraid to die nor afraid to live. We're not hapless vagabonds on earth. We're hope-filled citizens of heaven. We're no longer enslaved to our sins. We're now wrapped up in your righteousness. Because of your resurrection, Jesus, we're to be less pitied than anybody and more grateful than everybody. You are the first fruits and guarantee of a whole new order, the new creation realm of redemption and restoration. One day, everything sad will come untrue, and all things broken will be made new. How we long for that day. Jesus, your death is the death of death, and your resurrection is the resurrection of all things. You died for our sins, and you've been raised for our justification. Oh, the wonder, marvel, and gratitude that fills our hearts today. We are forgiven. We are beloved. And we are yours. In light of this living hope and compelling love, this measureless grace and eternal inheritance, free us for spending the rest of our days living to your glory. So we pray in your praiseworthy and powerful name. Amen. Are we all good? Excellent. Right in the nick of time. Put up that second picture then, Ian, if you can. Here was the scene at 6:30 this morning, folks, and this is for the benefit of some of you who were there as well, just in case you weren't fully appreciating it. We gathered with others, particularly our brothers and sisters from Sloane Street for our dawn service at Wallace Park. It was a beautiful sunrise, and so good to begin Easter Day together there, and thanks to Dermot who shared a marvelous message this morning, and then thanks to Linda and Liz and Jan and Pamela who had everything ready for breakfast here when we came back to the link. But let's join together now, folks, and let's worship our risen King together as we sing together "This Is Amazing Grace," and then "Come People of the Risen King." Obviously, folks, we're also missing some of our musicians today. We're really grateful that we still had Alan and Adam and Lydia to lead us in our music. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel. Let's read Matthew's account of the resurrection as we find it in Matthew chapter 28. Beginning at verse verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. We thank God for this reading from his word. Now, we don't have too many of our boys and girls this morning, but come on up to the front, those of you who are here. I know chicken pox is still doing the rounds, that's affecting. We've got other bugs and sickness going around too, but come on down to the front, we'll talk to you here. All right, good morning. Happy Easter to you. Thank you very much, Emily. Not wishing me happy Easter, Liam. No. Now, Liam's cousin, remind me of your name.
Isaac.
I haven't forgotten you, Isaac. You cost me a fair bit of money the last time you were here, and don't readily forget things like that now. Yeah. In fact, I'm already worried about later on. I'm going to have to check my wallet and my wee wife. All right, Katie. Good, good. Tell me this. What frightens you? What frightens you? Be honest now, because there are things that we're all afraid of. I don't believe for a moment that there are things that don't frighten you. What are you afraid of, Emily? Right. Do we have that? Can we nip onto that in? Spiders. Do we have that there? Oh, I should have given a warning before I put that up, shouldn't I? Yeah, my daughters are looking so slightly disturbed. And flying. Fear of flying. I don't really like flying. Not very much. Yeah, that's how I feel when I'm on a plane. What are you scared of, Isaac?
As far as I'm dark.
The dark. We have the dark somewhere, I think, Ian, as well, do we? We have a wee look on. It's, that's another one. No, that's slide 13. There we go. Yep. Scared of the dark. What about you, Liam? What are you scared of?
Death.
No, nothing.
No death.
Death. Oh, well, we'll come to that one. Right. I don't have that one down, but that's one that scares a lot of people. I do have some other ones down that you haven't mentioned. Slide 8, Ian. What's that? What is that? Who's scared of thunder and lightning? Right. Yeah, that's called astrophobia, the fear of thunder and lightning. We haven't had thunder and lightning recently now. Now, here's a strange one. Look at this. Now, who would be scared of that? Look at that. Isn't that a picture of loveliness and adorability? She was at the dawn service. Oh, look. Now, that's a bit more frightening. That's a bit more frightening. This animal was at the dawn service this morning because our girl said she needed to hear the gospel. So she was... She was at Wallace Park. Would you believe that there are people who have a phobia who are afraid of dogs, often because they maybe had a bad experience and maybe got bitten or nipped? So cynophobia, that is fear of dogs. How can you be afraid of something so lovely? But some people are. We looked at fear of the dark. Slide 15. Fear of what? What's that a fear of? What's that a fear of?
Fear of injections. Yeah, I don't really like it. My problem is it's not so much the injections. It's the fact that my veins disappear at the sight of a needle. And then they're poking and prodding me. The last thing I heard before I went out for surgery, while they were struggling to get an anesthetic into me, the last thing I heard was the anesthetist saying, get me the ultrasound. So, yeah, I'm not very fussed on injections. This one, there's a trigger warning here. If you're scared of people with big red noses and white faces, look away now. Some people are really frightened of clowns. And there's a word for that as well, if we go to the next one. Coulrophobia, fear of clowns. Anybody afraid of clowns? Oh, you're so brave and real. Oh, are you? Oh, sorry. Get that down, Ian, quickly. Get it down. There we go. Now, the grown-ups, they're letting on they're not afraid of anything. I don't believe that for a moment. I wonder, do you know what the most frequently repeated command in the Bible is? What is the thing that God seems to say most often in the Bible? It's not maybe what you think. What do you reckon?
Don't be afraid.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, here it is. It's do not be afraid. We find that all through the Bible. God is constantly saying to people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because God understands that there are many things in this world that do frighten us. He wants us to know that we do not need to be afraid because, well, God is with us. But what we discover when we go to the Easter story is that in the Easter story, nearly everybody was afraid. Practically everybody in the Easter story was afraid of something. We know on Good Friday, Jesus had died. Jesus was dead. Jesus had died on the cross. The Roman soldiers had made sure of that, and it was the saddest day. And we're told there was a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He was a member of the Jewish High Council. He was a good man. He had not agreed with their decision to do away with Jesus. And he went to the Roman governor Pilate, who had put Jesus to death, and he asked permission for something. What did he ask permission for? What did he want?
To build him a tomb.
Yeah, he wanted permission to take Jesus' body and to put it in a tomb, to put it in his own tomb. Joseph had a tomb of his own, but he wanted to take Jesus' body and bury it. And he was given permission to do that. And he wrapped Jesus' body in a linen covering. Jesus was very clearly dead. And he placed him in a tomb chiseled into the rock, a tomb that had never been used before. The Jewish leaders, they were afraid. They were afraid that the disciples were going to come and try and steal. Dear goodness, where did that come from? I just nearly got hit by a shoe there. There you go. Kerry. A shoe in the form of an Easter lamb as well, I think. All right. I'm a bit afraid now too. The Jewish leaders were afraid. They were afraid that the disciples were going to try and steal Jesus' body and then pretend that Jesus was alive. So they went to Pilate and they said, Pilate, we want you to place soldiers on the tomb to guard it. And so the entrance to the tomb was sealed by a large stone. And Roman soldiers came and stood guard outside. But you know what? There was no chance of the disciples trying to steal Jesus' body. Do you know why? Because they were afraid. And the disciples, well, they were hiding. They were hiding. They were afraid to go out anywhere. They were worried because Jesus had been arrested that soon they would be looking for Jesus' disciples as well. So they were afraid. Some of the women who had been followers of Jesus, they had seen the tomb where Jesus' body was placed. And they went back to prepare spices and perfume. And they rested quietly the next day because it was the Sabbath day of rest. But early in the morning, on the first day of the week, on Sunday at dawn, these women made their way to the tomb. They were bringing spices and oils to anoint Jesus' body. But they did not know how they were going to roll back the large, heavy stone covering the tomb. But they didn't worried about that because when they got there, there was a violent earthquake and the angel of the Lord came down from heaven. The stone covering the tomb entrance was rolled away. The angel sat down on it and his appearance, we're told, was bright as lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards weren't just afraid, they were terrified and they collapsed like dead men. And when the women arrived at the tomb, they saw the large stone had been rolled back. Then they saw the angel and they were afraid as well. What did the angel say to them? That's right. Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. The angel said, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Now, those women had every cause to be afraid. There'd been an earthquake. The guards were lying there as though dead. There was an angel speaking to them. But they're told they don't need to be afraid because the most important news is that Jesus was not there. Jesus had risen. And everything was now different. Jesus had risen. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He was alive again. And that was a reason for not being afraid, but that was a reason for joy and celebration and hope. I've got an egg here this morning. There's a message inside it. Katie, would you come and open the egg up for me? Just open it up. Take that page out. That's lovely. Can you, Seth, you give me the egg and then you can unfold that paper for me, would you? Let me give you, all right, give you a wee hand there. Now you take it and ask your sister to have a wee read on it there. Read it for me, Emily.
Do not be afraid.
Again, there's the same message for us this morning. Do not be afraid. Because as we meet here, our lives can be filled with fear. We've already spoken about some of the fears we can have. For those of us who are older, our fears are maybe different. It might be our health that's causing us fear. Or it might be the health of somebody in our family. It might be fear of the future. It might be fear of the unknown. It might be fear over our job or over our finances. Might be for our students, exams that are coming up. Or maybe it's fear of what people in school or in work would say if they knew that we are Christians. Or maybe it's a fear of what's happening in our world, because our media, every time we turn on the news loves to try and fill us with fear. The media love to fill us with fear. They move from one scare story to the next, from COVID to climate to conflict. And we can be weighed down with so many fears. And to us today, God says the same, do not be afraid. And the greatest enemy of all, the thing that causes the greatest fear is what you said, Liam. What did you say you were afraid of? Death. That's the greatest fear for so many people. And yet those same words from the empty tomb come to us and they say, don't be afraid. Because Jesus has been raised, that removes the need for fear. Because we know now that death has been conquered. Death has been overcome. The greatest source of fear, death in the grave, has been overcome. Jesus has conquered it. And so if we know Jesus, and we know Jesus has taken the punishment for our sins on himself, we know now that we can be forgiven. And we know now we're promised eternal life. And so because of the resurrection and the knowledge that Jesus lives and reigns, we know that in heaven we have a great high priest who is there speaking on our behalf. And Jesus, who said to his disciples, says to us, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus is alive. God's in control. It seems that God does not want us to live in fear. We know that because time and time again, he says to us, do not be afraid. We're loved by God and there's no fear in love. So don't let fear dominate our lives. But let the love of God fill us and let the resurrection power of Jesus work in us. Do not be afraid. We're thinking about words from the empty tomb. During the week, we were thinking about words from the cross. This morning, we're thinking about words from the empty tomb. And those are the first. Do not be afraid. I'm going to let you go back to your seats, but I'm going to need your help with stuff in a little while again. So you can go back to your seats now and we'll get you again in a little while.
Folks, just a few announcements at this point. First, thanks to all who've been involved in all our Easter services, to our musicians, to our singers, to our audiovisual team, to those who have been welcoming, and it was great to have Andrew Faulkner, speaking at our service and to have Dermot speaking this morning. Thanks to Hannah, and thanks to her team, all of you who were involved in the Great Rescue Holiday Bible Club. Three or four good nights, great nights were had. I know that from speaking to parents who were gathering in the link, that the children had a great time at that. We had a great range of children from many different places. So thank you to all of you who were involved in the Great Rescue Bible Club. And as I've said already, thank you to all who were involved in breakfast this morning for the dawn service. There's no link up this Wednesday, folks. It will be back the following Wednesday, but it's not on this Wednesday. Please note there is no April bulletin. Okay, there won't be a bulletin this month. The next bulletin will be May and June, so we'll give you notice towards the end of April, any items for that. But any announcements that you have week to week over April should still be sent to the manse by Thursday evening each week. Please note, Heidi is off this week, so don't be bothering her. I had hoped to be off, but other circumstances have changed that. So I will be on call, folks, but please, only in emergencies, only in emergencies, that would be appreciated. And our speaker next Sunday morning then will be the Reverend Leslie Addis. Leslie will be back to take the service next Sunday morning. There's an Easter egg hunt afterwards, and if you gather in the minor hall for that. We don't have too many of our children today, so I think we can remove the age restriction. Anybody who wants to join an Easter egg hunt, you can go to the Easter hall, or the Easter hall, the minor hall. Boy, I need away for a few days too, the minor hall afterwards. And if you didn't get an Easter egg, because the older you get, the less Easter eggs you got, you'll want to take part in that Easter egg hunt then, folks. Finally, it is with sadness that I have to announce the death on Thursday of Mr. David Henderson of Bellevue Manor. There will be a service of thanksgiving for David's life here in this building on Thursday at 11 a.m. To his daughter Suzanne, to his son Gary, to the rest of the family circle, we extend our sympathy. We're going to remember them in prayer, but before we do that, we also want to pray today for another country in the world watch list. Remembering our brothers and sisters who are suffering in other lands. We think about number 6 on the world watch list this morning, and that's the country of Nigeria. It's a huge country, a huge population. Almost half of the population of Nigeria, the population is 220 million. Nearly half the population would claim to be Christian, but in the north, it's majority Muslim. The proportion of Christians is much lower, and that is traditionally where persecution of Christians has most happened. But that's continuing to spread further south. Folks, Christians in Nigeria are being terrorized with devastating impunity by Islamic militants. Those attacks are often brutal in nature, involve destruction of property, abductions for ransom, sexual violence, and death. Believers are stripped of their livelihoods and driven from their homes. More believers have been killed for their faith in Nigeria in the last year than anywhere else in the world combined. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw people marching through the streets of London protesting against the treatment of Christians in Nigeria? Striking, isn't it? People don't seem to be concerned when it's Christian lives. These days, we want to pray for the church in Nigeria. The government seems powerless in many ways to protect our brothers and sisters or to restrain those Islamic militants. And so we want to remember that situation in prayer today. Let's pray. Gracious Father, on this day, we hear that good news ring out. Jesus was not in the tomb because he had risen just as he said. We thank you today. We worship the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And we thank you. You demonstrated the truth of those words through your resurrection on that first Easter. So we thank you, Lord, that even the greatest enemy of all, death, has been overcome. And yet we know death is something that brings so much fear to so many. We pray, Lord, for this family who have been cast into mourning this week as a result of the death of a loved one. We commit the family of David Henderson to you. We thank you for him and for his life. We pray that you'd be very near to his loved ones today, to his daughter Suzanne, to his son Gary, to his grandchildren, to Jan and to Luke and to Jordan, and to his great grandchildren, Ollie and Ruby. We commit them to you, Lord, and we pray that they would know your presence and that they would look to you and that they would know, Lord, just the reality of that message, that they would trust in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Lord, we pray today, Lord, for the country of Nigeria, number 6 on the world watch list. So many of our brothers and sisters have experienced such horror and trauma in that land. We ask that you would pour your unfailing comfort into their hearts, that you would heal their wounds, refresh their spirits, and restore their lives. Guard believers who are at risk of attack and surround them with your peace and your presence. Strengthen, protect, and encourage leaders who face enormous pressures and dangers. We pray for peace and stability and safety throughout Nigeria. Stem the influence of those who wish to stir up violence. And we pray that you would move the new government to do more to protect your children. We pray, Lord, that our government and other governments in the world, Lord, would be advocates for Christians in that land. Lord, we see people protesting week after week over what's happening in the Gaza Strip, Lord. And yet we hear nothing, Lord, about this very real genocide that's happening as people deliberately seek to exterminate the church in that land of Nigeria. We commit our brothers and sisters to you, and we ask you to hear our prayers, which we bring in Jesus' name. Amen. Katie and Emily and Isaac and Liam, come on up to the front again for a moment. Now, I want to show you something, and I don't want you to tell anybody what you've seen, okay? So come with me. Come with me. No, come on. It's okay. Come on. Now go up into the pulpit and have a look. Don't say anything, but have a look and see what's up there in the chair. Can you see? Okay, there's room for all of you to go up. Have you all seen what's there? All right, come on back down again then. Don't tell anybody now, but I'll let you go back to your seats now, but don't tell anybody what you've seen yet, all right? Don't tell anybody. You can all go back to your, that's lovely. After the angel gives the command not to be afraid, there's a second command. There's a second command. Oh, and I do need one of yous again. Liam, come on, come up back a minute. There's a second command inside this egg. So open the egg and take out. Lovely. Right, give me the egg. You open that up. Great. Okay, what does it say?
Come and see.
Come and see. Come and see. Those are the second words that we think about. From the empty tomb this morning, come and see.
And that's what the angel said to the women. The angel said, come and see. The angel says, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. And then the angel invites the women, come and see the place where he lay. And so they go in and they saw the empty tomb for themselves. They see the grave clothes lying folded where Jesus lay, but he's not there because he is risen. Often when a person hears the good news of Jesus, when they hear the news that Jesus is risen from the dead, all kinds of questions come up. Can it really be true? Might it not all just be the imagination of those women or wishful thinking? So not more likely it was a downright liar. They went to the wrong tomb. Well, we're invited to come and see for ourselves. The women were invited to come and see the evidence for themselves. And having seen the empty tomb, the folded grave clothes, they then hurry away, awash with excitement, still afraid. But now there's joy as well. And as they go on their way, who do they encounter? But they encounter the risen Jesus for themselves, who again encourages them not to be afraid. Friends, we're invited to come and see. Jesus says to us, come with your questions. Come and examine the evidence for my resurrection. That evidence which is so wonderfully strong. Come and see for yourself what it means to live on the basis that 2,000 years ago something happened by which death itself was defeated. That God's power was unleashed in accordance with the great stories and promises of the Old Testament. That new creation has begun with a bang. That nothing has been the same in our world since that first Easter. And at some time, most of us, if not all of us, have been invited to come and see. We can all point to people who encouraged us to come and see. Maybe once we had little time for God. Maybe we thought the gospel was nonsense, but somebody said to us, come and see. Come to my church. Come and hear what we believe. Or maybe they invited us to a special mission or event. Maybe they gave us a little booklet or they gave us a Bible. Maybe we went to church, we went to that event, we read what was given to us, and when we examined the evidence for ourselves, we realized there is something in this. And maybe then to our complete surprise, we actually met Jesus. We felt that conviction in regards to our sin. We felt and we understood our need of a Savior, and we came to Jesus as that Savior and accepted him as our Savior and Lord. Frank Morrison was a skeptic when it came to Jesus and Christianity, and he attempted to write a book about what he saw as the myth of the resurrection. And after careful research, he did indeed publish a book, but it was a very different book to the book he originally intended to write, because the book that he wrote was called Who Moved the Stone? And the first chapter of that was called The Book That Refused to Be Written. Because having come and seen the evidence for himself, he confessed that his initial belief that the resurrection of Jesus was untrue simply did not hold water. And he concluded with the words, the third day he rose again from the dead. Frank Morrison came and saw and came to realize that Jesus was alive and Jesus was the Savior of the world. Maybe you're here this morning and you're still not sure. Maybe you're here this morning and you're still not sure whether or not you can trust Jesus. Jesus says to you, come and see. Come and see. Come and look at the evidence for yourself. Come and see. I'm going to invite Alan and Lydia and Adam to come up and to lead us in a couple more songs. We're going to take up, if you have your envelopes, folks, pass them to the end of the row. Hopefully somebody will lift them there, and we're going to sing together, Christ our hope in life and death, and then we're going to sing, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Right after the words, come and see, there's the final words from the empty tomb want us to think about. Isaac, come on, turn the microphone on, right, Tyler, do it now.
Go and tell.
Go and tell, thank you very much. Do not be afraid, come and see. Those final words we think about from the empty tomb, go and sell, go and tell. It's there in Matthew 28 and verse 7, it's there again in verse 10. The angel tells the women to go quickly. Tell who? Tell his disciples Jesus is risen. And as they go on their way, they met the risen Jesus himself, and he gives them the same command, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. The heart of the Easter message, the good news that Jesus is alive, is the fact that the news spreads. The news spreads. People tell others about it. We read at the beginning that account of Paul. He talks about how Jesus appeared to Peter and to the 12, how he appeared to more than 500 believers at the one time. How Paul himself had that encounter with the risen Jesus on the Damascus Road. That news about Jesus spreads, and it spreads as people go and tell others. You may say, well, all that telling business, that's for you, that's for the professionals, that's for evangelists, that's for preachers, that's for pastors. Folks, we looked at gospel-shaped outreach. We know that's not true. We know we're all called to go and tell. Notice who were the first to be told to go and tell. They weren't the religious professionals. It wasn't even the 12 apostles. They're away hiding, afraid. In the culture of that day, it's the most unlikely people, these women, who are told to go and tell. The women who in the culture at that time were seen as being unimportant. The one whose testimony didn't even count in a court of law. And yet they're given the ultimate trust. Those who are the first to see and hear and touch the risen Jesus, he gives the same command, go and tell. And those women did go and tell. And if those women were able to go and tell, then so can you and I. Earlier, took some of you up into the pulpit and we saw what was up there. I want you to go now and tell somebody what you saw. Katie, can you go and tell somebody what you saw in the pulpit? You tell your dad. What did you see? Where's Emily? Emily, can you tell somebody what you saw? You telling your mom? Liam, can you tell somebody what you saw? Tell Adam in front of you there. Not your brother, Adam. Tell this Adam in front of you. What did you see? Isaac, would you tell somebody what you saw? Reach around behind you and tell Charlie there. What did you see? Liam, shout it out. What did you see? Easter eggs. Lots and lots of Easter eggs. Because I'd hoped and anticipated we'd have more. We'd have more of our boys and girls here today. We can all share with others what we've seen, what we've heard. The Apostle Peter, years later, said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Those who were witnesses to the resurrection, those who had for themselves heard and seen what had happened, were called to go and tell, to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. That was Jesus' command to his disciples. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And we're called to go. The message of Easter, the message of the crucifixion and the resurrection, which lies at the heart of the gospel, is the single most important life-changing message this world can hear. And it desperately needs to hear it. Folks, our society is coming apart. It's falling apart. And the reason why it's falling apart is not hard. Because we have people who have been chiseling away at the Christian foundations of our society. And when you do that, when you chip away at the foundations, then eventually the whole building comes crashing down. Our nation desperately needs us to go and tell, to share that news. Romans 10, the Apostle Paul says this, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That is marvelous news. But then he points out something really important. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear about without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on that name unless somebody shares it with them first? Folks, who might God be calling you to go and tell? Might be somebody at home. Might be somebody at home who just couldn't get out of bed this morning. Might be your neighbor. Might be the person who sits beside you in your class or your lecture. Might be the person you work alongside day by day. I can tell you this, it won't involve having to go too far. None of us have to go too far today before we encounter somebody in Lisburn who needs to be invited to come and see. May simply involve sharing the reason for the hope that we have. But it will involve us walking the walk as well as talking the talk. If people are going to come and see, it is vital that Christians are seen to be authentic and consistent in our day-to-day lives. It means some of us need to let the good news show on our faces. But do you know something? We may be surprised when we do go and tell and offer the invitation just how ready and eager many people are to hear and to come and see for themselves. We're living in a society without hope. We have a message of hope to share. And we have that message of that perfect love which drives away fear, found in Jesus Christ. This Easter, we hear those words from the empty tomb. Do not be afraid. Jesus has risen. He's alive forever. He reigns and rules. We're invited to come and see for ourselves the evidence that Jesus is indeed risen, that he is who he claimed to be. As Easter weekend concludes, we're commanded as we go into a new week to go and tell. Do not be afraid. Come and see. Go and tell. And Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Liam and Isaac and Katie and Emily, come on up. Come on up again. Now, Isaac, remind me, is it that you're allergic to chocolate or you just don't like it? You're allergic to it. So is it, you're allergic to dairy, is it? So if I had something that didn't have dairy in it, that would be okay. Oh, hallelujah. Right. The Lord must have known you were coming because I bought two of these now because I knew that Katie would need one like this. There's one for yourself. And then if you want to take one. Oh, sorry, there's mini eggs, and what are those ones? Caramel nibbles. And you know what else I want you to do? I want you to take another one and go and give it to somebody else. We're talking about sharing the good news that we have, going and telling. So you can take another egg and give it to anybody you want to give it to. All right? Lydia. Adam. Where'd Alan go? Oh, he's down there. Oh, Freddy. Good man. There you go. No. Back this way. Back this way, son. You overshot. No, down here. And here, Freddy. There's another one you can give that. Oh, you're going to have to choose between mum and dad. Mum's got it. Let's pray together, folks. Gracious Father, we thank you that we celebrate good news of great joy. That is for all the people. We thank you how the angel said that to the shepherds at Christmas time. We thank you that message rings especially true again at Easter. Thank you again that angels shared that message of good news and great joy. This time, not that Jesus had been born, but that Jesus had risen from the dead. We thank you because of that good news. We do not need to live in fear. We thank you. You have promised that you are with us, that Jesus lives, and that Jesus has promised that resurrection to eternal life to all those who believe in him. Thank you, Lord, for those who maybe first invited us to come and see for ourselves. We thank you that we discovered the truth, that faith that we now hold so dear. Pray for others, Lord, who maybe today need to come and see and investigate these seemingly impossible claims for themselves. May they come and see. May you open your hearts and may they encounter the risen Jesus. And for all of us who know and who love the risen Jesus, send us forth to go and tell, to share this good news with so many who need to hear it in these dark and fearful days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well done, you kept on singing, because that one's locked in there, isn't it? We become so reliant on the screens, but happily we kept on going. Risen Lord Jesus, roll away the stone of our doubts, let us trust you. Roll away the stone of our reserve, let us proclaim you. Roll away the stone of our heaviness of heart, let us rejoice in you. Roll away the stone of our fear. Let us find hope in you now and through all eternity. Let us say together, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.